station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Middle of Winter Global Warming Advocate.
Mr. Middle of the Winter Global Warming Advocate.
For years you've warned us about man-made global warming and gotten national exposure. Now the nation is being exposed to blinding blizzards and record low temperatures.
Carbon footprints in the snow.
The heck with ice caps. I need to melt my sidewalk.
Polar bears are moving in next door. Yeah.
So the next time you see some expert pontificating about a warmer planet while shivering and wiping the frozen snot from his mustache, don't laugh, but lend a snow shovel to Mr. Middle of Winter Global Warming Advocate, a real American hero.
Mr. Middle of the Winter Global Warming Advocate.
I'd give you a lift to somewhere warm, but I only have a gas-guzzling SUV. Sorry.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning, Friday, November 19th, coming to you live. And this radio. I want to develop a radio voice.
Yeah, headlines. Get your headlines here. Get your, like, hardcore real news here.
Yeah.
Because we know what's up.
Yes, we do. Thank you all for joining us. It is Friday. Very dark outside. Looks
like dark, yeah.
Yeah, they said it's going to rain Saturday and Sunday, so it might actually start earlier. And we love that in L.A. because we don't get a lot of winter here. So.
Yeah, it's kind of nice, you know.
Yeah. Except you can't go running, but
I'm gonna
go running in the rain.
I'm
this is not serious rain.
No, it's like a drizzle.
Yeah, we
it's
never
like
get
a little
rain.
Moisture than I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens, so you just gotta roll with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moisture you weren't expecting. Okay.
Yeah.
So how are you doing this morning, Kara?
I'm doing really good.
You just recovered really quickly, which I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Good. Okay, well, let's go home because we got nothing to talk about.
No, I just had a little breakdown right before we started the radio.
Yeah.
It was fine. It just came. It happened. And Sam's looking at me like, oh, shit, she's crying. I don't know what to do.
Starts crying. And I don't know what to do. You see, that's a problem men have with women crying. Because
no, it's fine. You don't really have too much to do. You just have to kind of like, but you have this stare like.
That's what you think we don't have to do. But we feel we have to fix things, you know, so.
Yeah.
So what happens is, especially like in arguments and shit, you know, once a woman starts crying, all bets are off. You know, it's like there's no argument anymore. You know?
No, I understand.
How can you fight with a woman that is crying, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
well, you don't.
Yeah, you don't.
I mean, it's like even if you have a girlfriend and she starts crying or something, it's like you can't keep laying into somebody.
Yeah.
You have to like, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Sorry, and then you lose the fight. Yeah. No. I just got a very important email from somebody, the guy that I was seeing in Texas. And anyway, he sent a really sweet email. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of an adult thing. It's like, oh, this isn't going to work. And we've been off for a while, but it's been just we haven't talked.
I see. Okay.
You know.
So this sort of finalized it or what?
Well, we haven't talked. It's so funny how I work on my issues on the radio.
Yeah, just avoid them, huh?
No. No, we just haven't talked really since I've been back from Texas, really. Mm. And, you know, it's. I didn't really know what he was thinking, and I didn't really know if he understood where I was coming from, and I just didn't want him to feel like I was trying to hurt him, and you know. But at the same time, I felt like the more we were trying to be together, the more I didn't feel like I was myself. I didn't feel like I was really who I am and what I'm supposed to be doing. And so there's been some really cool breakthroughs that have happened for me recently, and you know, he's been a big part of my life, so I wanted to just let him know things are better, things are good, and just tell him, you know, thanks for his help and everything. And, you know, I think he would be happy for me. So I sent him a voicemail. We haven't talked, like, in, I don't know, over a month, it seems like. And anyway, he just sent me an email. It was really touching. So it just kind of was like...
I see.
Yeah. And it was really
it
an adult...
touched the nerve. Yeah.
It was an adult email, like, you know, I care about you, I love you, da-da-da, but, you know, obviously this is, you know, hard for me, and da-da-da-da. Yeah.
Well, you'd expect it to be adult email. I mean, we're adults,
he and I are very passionate people, so, I mean, it wouldn't, you know... It wouldn't shock me. Like we can go into some combat type, you know, you know, very passionate people. So usually it's very fiery, and he's Italian, and I'm just crazy. So, yeah. But so it was very like a very mature email, and but yet heartfelt. So it kind of touched my heart. Yeah.
Well, I feel for you.
Well, you know, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
You know, when stuff's out of your hands, it's bigger. It's like you just know that. You're going in a direction, they're going in a direction, and it's like bigger than both of you, and yet you want you love each other, but you know it's not right. It's
right,
one of these
right. The circumstances.
It's a different kind of breakup. It's a different kind of thing where you you know, it's not because you don't love the person. It's just not the same thing. It's not the long haul. And
right.
And he and I have known each other for 10 years, so it's one of these things where
yeah. You're connected somehow.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah.
So. Like the phone I have, he gave me this phone.
Oh, yeah?
So every time I use it, I think of him.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's a really awesome phone, too.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's a cool
what
phone.
What kind of a phone is it?
It's a
Samsung?
It's a Samsung Touch type phone.
Is that an Android then?
No, it's not an Android, but it's the other kind.
Oh, okay.
The other kind
the other
is good.
Kind.
Yeah. So anyway,
well,
there's my
good.
Life. But yeah,
yeah,
things are good.
So listen, I owe you an apology for yesterday,
Why?
I think. Because I commented on the way you dressed and stuff during the show.
Tell me your side.
And I felt you were hurt by that, although I couldn't understand why, because my intention was good, you know? I mean, I just, you know.
No, I mean, it's just one of these things where as a woman, and I know you, Sam, I know you're not trying to be hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's an insensitivity thing.
Yeah.
Because people just think that, especially if you're funny, you don't have feelings.
Right.
And people think, and this is just life. I have to just deal with it, because anytime you put yourself out there.
Yeah.
People's opinions come at you, and sometimes you're just like, I don't know where the hell these opinions are coming from, because, you know, I don't present myself as a supermodel. I'm not, you know, I'm up there to make people laugh, and yet, you know, and I just recently had something online that I just got slammed for my looks. Not just, but there was a bunch of intermittent, you know, it's just, it's a lot of like, no matter what you do as a woman, you're always going to be physically under scrutiny, even if that's not your thing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
you can't
exactly.
You can't win.
Yeah.
Everybody has even if you're like a man, it's not the same way. Like you can actually be a scientist, or you could be a writer, or you can be whatever. And it's like, oh, they look at your work and maybe they'll talk about you, your way you look, but not really. It's about your work. And as a female, it's constantly like number one is the way you look,
right?
And so you don't get a break from it.
Yeah, that's so, why a lot of women I guess get into eating disorders and shit, you know.
I still have enough discipline.
Yeah.
I can't do an eating disorder. And the thing is, I like the way I look. I like the way I feel, even if I gain 10 or
and that's
10.
The thing, I didn't comment about the way you looked. I comment about what you were wearing, you know?
Yeah, well, as a girl, you know, you gotta you gotta tread lightly in that area. But at the same time, I'm not really that stressed, because I did think I looked pretty damn hot, and I got a lot of attention afterwards.
No, you did.
Yeah, a lot of guys were like, hey, you look really sexy.
Maybe I was trying to get back at you for claiming I'm old all the time.
Okay, there you go. That's all you gotta do. I'll tell you you're old.
See, I'm sensitive too.
Yeah, but... I'll tell you that you're old, and you'll tell me I got cheesy thighs or something.
You know I'm sensitive to my age, you know?
No, I have, no, I've noticed that too. I mean, I'm not trying to be like, wow, 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 but there is a, there is just a consistency with women are, it doesn't matter. I mean, they're always judged at how they look.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if the woman likes the way she looks, and you know, you go, well, I think I look great, or the woman's like, I'm happy.
Right.
If you're, that's always swimming upstream, because it doesn't matter what size you are, if you're really, really little or big or medium or whatever, there's always people that are going to try to make you feel like you're not enough, or you're too much, or this, you know. Right. I mean, there's women with eating disorders that just, they look at themselves and they see somebody that's not enough, that's too much, or they're, you know what I mean? And it's like, it's really just offensive to just be happy with who you are. You know what I mean? That's the most provocative thing any woman can do, or man, is just to be content and grateful for who you are and where you are, and celebrate that. You know what I mean? That's almost like offensive to people. Like if you're not perfect and you're like, you know, you're just having a blast. People are like excited by it, and then some people are like, well, who the hell does she think she is? I'm working so hard to look like this, and she's having more fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just I'm learning to kind of like deal with it and just let it roll off.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is. It's like a process, you know. You're learning to kind of go, oh, okay.
Yeah. But I was analyzing everybody there, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure you were. You analyze women all the time.
Well, yeah, because I think that's what guys do, you know. I mean.
Well, I understand. I mean, on a objective level, I mean, I understand. Like when I look at performers or, you know, women, I mean, I look at the way they look. It's like it's kind of hard not to. You kind of think about the way they look.
Yeah,
but
they're on stage.
Yeah, hopefully, especially doing stand up, is to transcend that and move into deeper waters with people. And I think I do. I think it's, you get on stage, you see this crazy girl, and then it becomes, I think, a very fun, intimate experience, and we're all having like a blast. And it's kind of the way it feels for me anyway, is that we're all connected and having a blast, and it just was so much fun, you know. We're just joking around, and I feel like we get past the whole I'm a girl and I have to look pretty. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like I want to feel like I'm a girl and I look pretty at times, but you know, when I've got to go do comedy, I need to let go of my vanity.
Yeah.
And I've got to like be willing to let it all hang out in order to be free and have fun, you know, and that's what makes people laugh. If I just stood up there and looked pretty, we'd be all like crickets.
You were funny the way you pushed your hair up and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to look like who? I don't remember.
No, I was doing Shakira.
Oh, Shakira, so, that's right.
Yeah, and I love Shakira.
My wife was on the floor when you did
really?
That.
Really? My gosh, you know, and it's really funny because I was talking to a guy friend of mine who's a comedian, and he's like, Carrie, you have so much sex appeal in your comedy, and I'm thinking, I look freaking ridiculous. How does, like, some guys are like, oh, that's funny, and then some guys are really turned on by it, and everybody's just so different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the more
People see different things about you.
Exactly.
You know, different perspectives.
When you put yourself out there, you get so much of these. I'm like, how is this guy attracted to what I just did? I look like a freaking insane maniac. I mean, I'm like doing Shakira. I look like I should be like locked up in a cage. Like I look like you should like board the windows and just feed me out of a dog bowl because I look insane. And then, you know, some guys are, they think it's, you know, whatever. It's
they like it. It's a turn on for them, you know, to see a woman that's funny. And you know, that's why I don't understand why female comedians often complain, you know, it's harder for us, you know, and blah, 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 and comedy and all that. I don't see that.
Every guy, I don't know what you mean. I think some women are just talking about it's hard. It's a boys' club.
That's what I'm saying.
I think what they're saying is it's more like getting in the industry is very male dominated. So that's different than having an audience, guys in the audience like you. Like,
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like, yeah.
All right.
Like kind of, it's kind of what I've noticed is not all the time, but sometimes I've done shows where I'll try to talk to the guy comics before I go on stage and just chat and get to know them. And they're kind of like looking at me like I'm probably not going to do good because I'm a girl. And they're kind of like, oh, she's hot. So she's just, you know, she gets to be here because she's pretty.
Right. Yeah.
And then they don't talk to me. And then I go on stage and I'm thinking, oh, I'll do really good. And then they'll like me and want to hang out with me because I'm still a kid. Like, I'm like, yeah, then we'll be friends and we'll
chat.
They
will like me.
Then they'll like me and then we'll chat. Well, then you do really good and they don't like you anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
They don't like you anyway because shit. You're better than them. So I just learned to just, whatever, just live life, have fun, eat your cheeseburgers.
Do your thing.
Eat your cheeseburgers and go about in peace.
Oh, their cheeseburgers were great.
Oh, last night?
Not last night, the night before.
Oh, at the improv.
During your performance.
Oh, was it really good?
It was good.
Oh, man, I'm so glad you got good food. So you tell everybody where you went last night.
We went to a CD release last night, Jeff Phillips, and it was pretty nice, you know, at Vitello's. And, you know, but what occurred to me is, why is it that, like 99% of the bands all male, you know? Did you notice that? I mean, there's not a lot of female bands, and it's not like it's a man's job to be in music, you know, to play in a band. It's not like, you know, I don't know, some male dominated professions and shit, you know, but here you're talking about entertainment, about music, you know, and I would expect more like, you never see a guy as a lead singer and then women in the background.
Oh,
you
mean like having like women playing bass or drums?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, you don't see much of that at all. Mm-mm. And so it occurred to me yesterday, you know, I mean, it was a good band, great songs and stuff, you know, so it was really entertaining, you know. But like I told you before the show, I was surprised with the cover charge because I thought cover is to cover the expenses, you know, or to cover...
Like, what's this covering?
You know?
What's this covering?
Yeah, exactly. Right, what's it covering? Because we got the bill after we ate and we drank, you know, so you think that's enough to cover their expenses, you know? And so then I get the bill and it's like $30 more for both of us for cover. So I was kind of shocked about
that. To me,
that.
I'm sorry, that's like a shitty kind of undercutting kind of, hey, come to my show. Like, yeah. I'm just sorry.
But you know what? I'm sure they announced that it costs money to get in or a cover charge or something. But, you know, I didn't notice it. I never really saw the invitation. I just, he told me to come, so I did.
No, but I'm just saying, you know, if I was throwing a party, I would know what's expected of my guests and let them know. Right, you know right. what I mean? I wouldn't bamboozle them and have them, like, you know, thinking they're going to a CD release party that they have the option to order food or drinks.
Right.
And, you know, I would just figure that stuff out because that's expensive.
Yeah, it is expensive.
$15 to see a show and then, you know, you don't know that you're going to, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and plus the food, plus the drinks. You know, they mm-hmm. did give us free complimentary champagne in the beginning. But, yeah, how much does that cost? But all in all, you know, I mean, I can't complain. It was a great time. Jeff is mm-hmm. a great, great guy.
Yeah.
And we felt honored to be there and help him out, you know. And the room was full.
Mm.
It was pretty nice.
Really?
Yeah. The food was good, Italian food. You know, we had the salad and pasta and the pizza. You know, the mm. funny thing was we ordered a pizza, or my wife ordered a pizza, and I said, well, we didn't really discuss it. You know, I mean, because usually you discuss what we're going to order, you know. So she's like ordering the pizza. I'm like, well, you know, wait a minute. So then we said, okay, just bring the pizza and the salad, right? So as soon as he leaves, I told her, I said, I'm really in the mood for pasta. So he comes back, we order pasta, so... He runs to the kitchen to stop them from making the pizza and comes back. So we get the food, and then about 15 minutes later, they bring the pizza too.
Oh, yeah.
And we told him, we said it was a mistake, you know. And then we said, you know what, just leave it here. We'll eat it, you know.
Yeah, so did you guys have a good
throwdown? It's a really thin pizza, you know, so it's not filling or anything.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so we ended up with three dishes.
That's great, though.
Yeah.
It's a good throwdown.
Yeah. Yeah,
did you take any food home or no?
We ate the whole fucking thing. We left a couple of pieces of pizza, I think. But that
you polished
big,
it off. There you go.
Yeah.
I like it. I like your... I
it
like
was
your,
good food, yeah.
That's the kind of woman I like that just takes charge and is like, okay, we're getting that pizza, okay. And then you're going to bring out some dipping sauce. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's really, really funny.
Yeah, so it was funny. And, yeah. And, you know, the view was nice, you know, beautiful.
So where is this restaurant? What streets?
It's on Tahunga. You know what Tahunga is?
Yeah, Tahunga and what?
And Moore Park.
Oh, that little area by Aroma Cafe and stuff?
Right, that nice place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we always go to it's across the street from Aroma.
Oh, that's really pretty over there.
Yeah, it's a really nice little area, mm-hmm. you know, with shops and mm-hmm. and that. So have you ever been to Aroma Cafe there? I mean, you go there Sunday morning and the line is way out the door. But it's really cool. You know?
Yeah. It's nice. It's pretty. Breakfast. It's outdoors. Because
it's like a garden type of a thing. Yeah.
They have a sister restaurant called the Alcove. And,
really?
Yeah, in Los Feliz off of Hillhurst, I believe.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Really pretty. It's really pretty. And you could order wine there, too. So, hey.
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 If there's wine, you'll order it.
Yes. I went on a, I went on a first date there.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm. With a security guard. Well, he wasn't a security guard. He was like insecure. What does it mean when they're like bodyguards?
Insecurity guard.
He's an insecurity guard. That's fun. That'd be a funny character. The insecure guard. The insecurity guard. He's here to protect your insecurities.
Yeah.
Like, you're beautiful. Eat that second piece. Like, the insecurity guard.
Let me make sure you're like, you know.
Yeah. You are.
Yeah,
you
insecure.
Are.
Make,
no,
sure, make
you
sure
are
you're
productive.
Insecure all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Keep you down.
He was a, what's it called? Bodyguard.
Oh, I see.
Bodyguards for like stars and stuff.
Right, right.
He had some pretty big clients. It was pretty interesting to hear. Mm. I was like, are you packing heat? He's like, I can't drink. You know, I've been on awkward dates. I've been on like really fun dates. I've been on like what the hell kind of dates, you know?
Yeah.
There's like this guy I went on a date with like a few years ago, like a two dates, you know, and he called me like 2 years later and was like, hey, I'm in your neck of the woods. I thought maybe you'd want to go see this thing with me. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, I know it's been a long time. I just thought I was thinking of you. And I'm like, oh, it took you 2 years to get me. You have some downtime to kill.
I know. That's,
no, it wasn't a huge love connect. It was like, he's cool, but it just wasn't a huge. It was a money thing, too. I'm not going to lie. He was very much, we went Dutch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we went on
so
two dates.
Like,
I gave him a second chance, and then it's like, you know.
Yeah, don't make me pay.
Well, I mean, I won't make a big deal out of it. Like, I'll offer, right. And if he lets me pay, then I'm like,
right. Ooh. But then you won't see him again.
No, because it's, to me, it's, he's not ready to be with a woman.
Oh.
No, it's true. I mean, it's not a shallow thing. It's, men need to be in a place where they want to take care of a woman.
You want to see someone financially secure.
And or somebody that can handle their money and they can, you know, make it stretch, or they can, you know, be creative with it. And it's a taking care aspect. It makes you feel like they care about you. It doesn't mean they have to pay for everything all the time, but the first damn two dates, mm-hmm. better shell it out.
Really?
You know, for that Baja Fresh, you better you better be able to pay for my Baja Fresh burrito, okay? No, this one guy,
maybe you expect too much.
Oh, you know? Come on, Baja Fresh!
No. I mean, you expect too much for expecting them to pay for everything, you know?
No, the first two dates, Sam.
That's it? And
that's
then you're gonna pay?
No, I'm okay. not.
That's what I mean, you know?
No,
you expect it.
No, listen, this is what's wrong with our society.
You don't like when people expect shit from you, and yet you expect it.
Listen to me. Yeah. Everybody out there, listen. This is what is a problem with our society, is that men have become lazy and women enable them, and there's a lot of screwed up issues with gender roles. And I think that a man that wants to be with a woman, there's part of being a man that involves pursuing a woman and making her feel special. And there's that part, you don't stay in that part the whole time. It fluctuates, but there's that beginning stage where you're laying foundations for things. And
right.
if somebody doesn't put forth that effort, it's really a bigger indicator of other things.
So you're saying during the courtship period, he should take care of you?
Yeah. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then, I mean, I believe that, you know, there's so many different things in life. I mean, there may be times when he goes to school and you're working or things like that. I
right.
mean, you know, it's more about, like, the guy that I want to be with, he doesn't have to be, like, a gazillionaire or anything, but he needs to have drive. He needs
right.
to have dreams. He needs
a job.
Right? A job's good that he gets paid. you know, goals, dreams, drive, ambition, that kind of thing. Doesn't
uh-huh.
have to be a bazillionaire. Like, if I met a guy who's a teacher...
Right.
And he, like, loves what he does, mm. and he's happy, and he's, you know, content,
right.
and he's, you know, really on fire for what he does. That's pretty cool. Mm. You know, you can respect that.
Right. But would you marry someone like that?
Mm-hmm. I would, yeah.
You would?
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, you know, there's more that goes into that, but, I mean, that's not a guy that makes a lot of money. But I dated a guy that didn't make a lot of money, and he picked up the bill.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
And we didn't go out to extravagant places, but...
Right. Yeah.
You know...
Okay.
Yeah, because I was busted, too. And there was no way I was picking up a thing. Yeah, but he was really cool about it. I mean, he, like, enjoyed being that person that
yeah.
took care of me,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, I think most guys actually enjoy it, so it's not a big deal. You know?
Yeah, well, no, I don't think... I think some guys are, like, cheapskates, and they want to see how far they can get without giving.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
I went on a date with a guy, this is years ago, went on a date with this dude, and we had a couple drinks, and then he ordered food, and I wasn't eating... And the bill came, and I was like, so, you know, I don't assume that they're going to pay. I'm like, so, my friends are like, don't you ever offer. Don't you ever offer. Like, my friends are like, don't you, that's your problem, Kara, is that you offer. And I'm like, well, I don't want to be, like, a princess about it. I want to know that I'm, you know, I think men appreciate it if you offer.
Yeah.
But they know that, but I know that if they let me do it, and it's the first date, okay.
It's the last date.
It's the last date. You know?
Yeah.
And if the guy doesn't understand, then he's just too fucking stupid to even be going on a date. If a guy thinks it's about money, mm-hmm. he thinks it's just about financial money, and he's a victim because the girl wants him to pay on the date that he asked her out to go on, then he's not ready to even be with a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay.
Well, I don't understand. This is 2010. Well, then go home with your blow-up doll. It's like, I'm sorry, like, you know? This guy. So anyway, the bill came, and I was like, "Oh, do you want me to, you know, want to split it, or what do you want to do?"
Uh-huh.
I said, "Do you want me to contribute?" He's like, "Oh, well, if you want to." And I ended up paying for half of his shit too.
Good.
Because I didn't even order that
much. You
should
have said, "I don't want to."
No, actually, I don't.
I don't really want to. I just was being polite.
I know, but you know, I was like, "Oh, okay, he's taking me up on it." And then
That's
he had the
funny.
Nerve to like ask me out right after that.
Yeah.
Like, what, you know, I'm like, what? This has happened to me a few times. So I'm like, you can,
yeah.
you date
it's
your
kids. Because they don't think they're doing anything wrong, you know? So
well,
they just ask you again.
You know?
Yeah.
Figure it out, man. It's
yeah.
like, I don't know. Maybe, I think it's like a really, it's to me, it's like, it's a, it's a little bit spineless. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it's one thing to not have the money, then you don't ask the girl out. You don't ask her out to a place you can't afford to pay for both of you, or you take her someplace that is like on a hike or a walk.
That's
or the beach,
true.
You know, or, you know, you can be creative. You can do stuff like that and until you can afford to go somewhere nice.
Yeah. You know what? When you're a guy who dates a lot, I mean, it gets very
that's
expensive.
Not the girl's problem. That's
so,
not her problem.
That's
you need
why
to really rethink.
You
need to reprioritize if you're taken out. OK,
I think that you should always go to for coffee first.
Yeah, that's the pre-date.
Yeah,
that's the pre-date.
Exactly.
Interview. That's like the pre-date. What's that?
Yeah, qualify her.
Hey, my Starbucks, $1.50. There you go. Boom.
Exactly.
Qualify.
Because I used to make that mistake, too. I mean, you know, when I was online dating and shit, it's like every girl that I would have a date with would go to a restaurant. And suddenly I'm realizing, what the fuck? It's costing me $80 every time I'm going out, you know?
Yep.
It's too much.
Yeah.
And you can't do that, especially if, like, 5 minutes later you're bored with a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't need
so
a big...
You really
don't need a big fancy dinner to find out if you're even compatible. Save that for when you're, like, excited about the person. And
exactly.
You know, like, maybe do like a you know, a coffee or even go for a drink. Like, a drink at a place.
No. Right, right.
Go for happy hour. Hey, what are you doing between 3:30 and 5 on a Tuesday?
Yeah.
You know? That'd be funny.
Yeah, I don't know. Dating is funny, man. It's a funny world, you know?
Yeah.
People constantly chasing each other.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So, in China, they sentenced a woman to labor camp for a Twitter post. She posted on Twitter. They didn't like what she posted. They sentenced her to labor camp.
That's called communism, people.
Yeah, that's what it's called. It's called censorship. It's called, you know, so that's why everybody that tells me, yeah, China is great, blah, 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 it's not the same as it used to
be. No, I don't.
Bullshit.
I know. I always get pissed when people are like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I'm sorry. I've got friends that have worked in China. It's not that there's not great things about China and the people of China. It's not that they're not great people, but they have an oppressive government. And they're not free.
And, you know, and her husband is saying, you know, I mean, he was arrested because she retweeted what he said or something, right? So he was arrested, and then he comes back home. His wife is gone. And nobody told him where she was, that she was arrested or anything. He didn't know. So he thought something happened to her. So that's the kind of life you can expect in China, you know? And so, yeah, it's cool, you know, but you know what? I don't think I'm going to travel there or anything. I mean, you never know when you might be perceived as doing the wrong thing.
Well, I think that they treat tourists extremely different. They want the money.
Yeah, they do.
They do. It's not for people that are visitors. It's like, you know, it's for the people that live there.
Yeah, but you never know that. You never know. You know, I mean, they might, you know, just like people go into the Middle East, I've had
quite a few friends that have gone to China and have loved the experience. I mean, just like love.
No, I know. People love it.
Yeah, I have a friend that went there for the Olympics and he's been back like twice and he loves China.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying there's not anything to love about China. I'm just saying like the civil rights issues, the human issues. It's like, you know, why does that become like non-existence because they're progressive and they've got an industry and they've got, you know, their technology and they're
yeah, but like, the ideologies have not changed much.
No, it's like there's nothing above government. You're supposed to serve government and government monitors. It's like the thought police, you know.
Yeah, they just opened China up enough to participate in the economy of the world, you know, but not really to change their ways.
Well, I subscribe to, it's a newsletter called Voice of the Martyrs, and it basically, it sends me news articles and activists, like things that are going on, in, even within this country, but within all countries of Christians who are persecuted for their faith.
Uh-huh.
And I'm constantly getting stuff from China, like grandma going to prison because she's having a Bible study at her house.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Bullshit like that. And you're like, lawyers that are fighting for human rights are going missing. And then they're like, they're in freaking prisoner camps, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm giving you kind of an abridged version, but you can look it up online, and it's constantly just for freedom, you know, whether or not you're a Christian or not. It's like I believe in freedom. I believe that, you know, the same freedom that allows me to believe what I believe, I want to protect that for whoever as well.
Right.
And, so it's extremely devastating.
Right.
Like anybody, it's devastating, but it's also like, what? This is a grandmother?
Yeah.
You know? It's like heartless.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I don't know. I think there's a. I think what happens too, and this is when a society. I mean, I believe in individualism. I believe in choice in a lot of ways, but I also believe in the collective. If I can be new age enough and say the consciousness of a society, like the cultural morale of a society, when that starts to really decline, you know, you're really in for some big crap. Like when people don't value life, you know, they don't see how life is fragile and it's beautiful. Then people are expendable, they're disposable. I mean, and that goes all the way down to children. Like a guy I met who, he was a costume designer and he worked, he was in China working for a while. He said, the stuff you see, you don't even want to repeat.
Right.
When it comes to children, he said, you know, you see children begging and they're mutilated and they steal things, they bring it back to, like kind of like in Slumdog Millionaire, you know how those kids were.
Except, you know, there's not a lot of crime in China because people are afraid. So, you know, I mean, they don't
there's
get into trouble that much.
There's tons of crime. There's tons of crime.
No,
yeah,
I'm
like
telling
he's,
you.
Yeah, he said.
My brother goes to China like 3-4 times a year, and
well,
he's telling you, you can walk on the street, you see women walking on the street at midnight, and there's no crime.
Well, this
I
guy
mean,
had
these places,
stuff.
You know, if they arrest you, they throw away the key.
Yeah, well, these kids are like, they have to steal, and they beg, and they steal, mm-hmm. and they bring the money back to their, basically, their you know, pimps.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his laptop stolen. He had equipment stolen. He was at a McDonald's.
Mm.
And it was sitting down by his feet, you know, his
yeah,
backpack.
Yeah. That sounds totally unlike that. You know?
Oh, no. Because I mean, he said, you see what they do and how the kids are treated. And they're just, there's such a surplus of people. I mean, there's people. There's so many people that it's like almost, like next. I mean,
yeah,
I'm not
I mean,
saying
how much value there is to life when you have, you know, a billion fucking people there, and with their ideologies, it doesn't leave much to for individuality. You know.
Also, another friend of mine, he had his neighbors adopted a Chinese baby girl, and they had to pay an extra, I don't know, like $20,000 just to give the baby the medical fluids that she would need in order to be alive on the plane.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
And they strap these kids down on boards with holes opening underneath their bottom so that they can just, you know, excrement can just fall.
Really?
Like they're just, yeah, it's like they just sit there until either they're adopted or they die.
Really?
Yeah. They just lay there.
Oh.
Yeah, like women
are. I've never heard of that.
Really? Oh my gosh. Yeah, baby girls. Like there's like a what is it called? A cap on how many kids you can have.
Right, yeah.
So,
just one child.
And if it's a girl, a lot of them put them in orphanages.
Yeah, I mean, there's always been the problem with females there where they would bind their feet and stuff, you know, and they obviously, you know, don't value women as much as they do men, and that's why people are sometimes giving away their daughters, you know, because they don't want them, which is, you know, such sad commentary on a society to live like this. But unfortunately, that's what happens there, you know. And, you know, so, yeah, I mean, I did a thesis on this once in college on Chinese women and stuff. And it used to be a lot worse, you know. They'd bind their feet so they lose their shape and stuff to make them unattractive.
I thought binding their feet was for them to have like small feet. It was like considered beautiful to have small feet, so it prevented them from having it stunted their growth, the foot.
You think that's what it is? So
yeah.
Where did I get this idea?
Yeah, like the geisha girls, they would bind their feet. It's to prevent the growth. Yeah, they want them to be like.
I guess
tiny.
I did it a long time ago where I don't remember.
He's like, forget it.
Don't fucking quote me then on this shit.
Well, you know. I always say, you know, a little bit of forewarning, you know, don't get your
look up nose. Chinese foot binding and let's see what that is about. You know, I can't believe that. I think I was, I don't know where I got that idea, but I did. And anyway, while you're looking for this, I guess, you know, Melissa Etheridge split up with her wife. Yeah. Long time ago. I mean, that was like, let's see, how long ago was that? Earlier this year, I guess. And, so they sort of like exchanged vows in 2003.
Okay.
And I guess they lived together, and her mate, whatever they want to call her partner, she bore two children for them, and now she's expecting money, and she's saying that Melissa has not given her any food money or anything. So
what?
Yeah. Yeah. She says that Melissa only pays the bills she wants to, and she doesn't cover everything, and, you know, I got the kids, blah, 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 you know. It's like the same problems that you have in a regular marriage, you know.
Okay, yeah, it says when a girl turned anywhere from 3 to 6 years old in China, her mom would rip up strips of cloth and start binding her feet. The wrappings would be taken off daily, then rewound tighter and tighter. Sometimes toes would be broken right away and folded under the foot. Otherwise, they would just be gradually bound in that direction, so they'd end up there. The many bones in the top of the foot would be broken and the ball of the foot buckled in, then wrapped to the heel. It was common for the bound toes to develop gangrene due to lack of circulation and fall off. This was thought of as a blessing because it would enable the feet to be made smaller still. The girl would never be able to stand again or play if by some chance they managed to stand up for 1 second. It was unstable and painful. This was considered insignificant in the quest for tiny feet. Oh,
wow.
It shows a picture. I can't even.
Yeah,
so it's about tiny feet.
Jeez, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, oh, that's so sad.
Mm.
Yeah, gross.
Yeah, so what do they do if they can't stand up, for crying out loud? And they used
and this
to
was until 19. This was until 1949, so that was the ideal, you know.
That was the ideal foot.
Yes, yeah, so it's the ideal length of a perfect foot called the golden lotus, quote, was 3 inches long.
Yeah.
This was a rare occurrence, and this 3-inch perfection, but it was something to strive for nonetheless. Perfect feet were seen as a type of dowry to sweeten the pot when trying to marry off your daughter to someone with standing. If your feet ended up over 4 inches long, you could pretty much forget that them bringing you to any extra leverage when marriage offers came around. They were considered too large and ruined. All the work done to mutilate them had been a waste of time.
Wow. Jeez.
Shit, man.
Imagine living in a society like that.
Oh, man.
You know?
Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Okay, there's also something, too. It says the girl wouldn't... Okay. Okay, yeah, they said this is all in the name of sex. The story goes that the practice started in the 9th century when an imperial concubine had her feet bound because her prince loved her little feet. Other women started copying this desirable look and the teeter-totter sway it produced as you tried not to fall on your face somehow got to be seen as erotic. In ancient Chinese sex manuals, the fold between the ball and the heel of foot was the preferred site for intercourse.
Wow.
And I had heard that too.
Really?
Whether the woman got a thing out of the whole act was less than unimportant. Foot binding was designed to literally keep women in their place,
right,
regarding as property. They couldn't walk more than a few steps without someone to support them.
Right. So what I said does have a ring of truth to it.
Oh,
I mean, you know,
I can't even look at these,
yeah, because, you know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. They were trying to limit what they can do.
Yeah, they couldn't go very far. But that's, I don't think they do that nowadays.
No.
That was back 1949.
Yeah. But maybe they do. We don't know about it, but it's not.
But I mean, you can look at our society, but I think this is different because this is more choice. But still, it's still like mutilation. I mean, women getting cut, mm-hmm, on the nipple or their belly button,
right,
in this freaking hose going up their body and popping.
Yeah. Or circumcision too, you know. I mean, it seems very barbaric.
Yeah, there's a lot of practices we have in the name of beauty that,
right,
seem way extreme, like facelifts. Let me just peel your face off and re-stretch it.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was doing makeup, this woman was like, yeah, you want to see my face look scarred? And she like pulled her hair back and it was like this, looked like Freddy Krueger came back
how
and just
disgusting.
Butchered the side of her head. And I was like, whoa, put that hair down.
Yeah.
I got it. I was like, whoa. Yeah.
I know. That's true. That's true, though.
Mm.
The length that people will go through for beauty. That makes sense. Yeah.
I think women have to stand up and just, like, take back.
Yeah.
You know, take it back and stand their ground.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I think in many Asian societies, it's about subjugating the women, you know.
Like submissive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
look, I didn't grow up there. I don't know what it would have been like.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
I was thinking today about burkas, though.
Yeah.
I was thinking about just women walking around looking like these crazy ghosts,
mm-hmm,
you know, not being able to show their face or anything like that.
Yeah.
And how, like, it's such...
How oppressive is that?
Yeah.
You know?
Just, you can't even exist.
Yeah.
Don't exist.
And, but you know what? For the most part, they actually accept it and they like it, you know, because that's all they know.
I don't think they like it. I think it's more of a, like you said, this is all they know, or this is, and I don't think it's every woman. I think it's a very divided thing.
Right.
I mean, in a way, if that's how you grew up and then you don't see a way out, you just kind of roll with it. But I think it's really, really domineering and it's just slavery, you know,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, if you, I'm sure you haven't, but if you watch Japanese porn, you see how they put their women down completely, you know.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean they put them down?
They put them down. I mean, there's all kinds of things like acts that, you know, I don't even want to describe.
Oh, please don't.
Yeah, because I know you don't want that. But where they're like, you know, subjugating the women, you know.
It's like domination. It's like power.
It is. It is. And
it's like sex is no longer.
Japanese men are like obsessed with that shit, you know. And yeah, they want submissive women and they serve them. They service them the way they want. And
I, you know what? That stuff enrages me. I mean, think about it. You're a man.
Uh-huh.
Think about if you were. I mean, even though I'm not a man, I was like, still think about the fact that men. It's still this concept of like, what if somebody was like holding your head down underwater or like punching you or like, mm-hmm. you know, biting you or pushing you around. I mean, you get enraged, right?
Right.
Women feel the exact same way. They're
right.
just taught they have to accept it. But think about it. Women get as enraged. You know, and I believe spiritually we were here to have dominion over land, but never dominion over people. It's like very broken. It's very, very. It's like everybody's seeking power, but they're doing it the wrong way. You know?
Right. Yeah.
It's like.
But you know what? I mean, I've read that many women in the Middle East and stuff, you know, or most of them, do not mind this. I mean, that's part of their culture. You know, they're raised to be dressed that way, to take care of their families. To you know, to support their husband and shit like
listen,
that.
Listen. Here's what I'm saying. I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm mm-hmm. asking. I'm bringing up a point. Slavery. If you're bred into slavery, that's all you know is being a slave. And mm-hmm. there's a mentality that comes with being a slave.
Right.
So that's the same thing. It's like you kind of get along to go along. You try to make the best out of it. You don't know anything else. You're taught. It's like a brainwashing thing. Mm-hmm. It's like women that are raised from birth in you know, polygamous colonies. And they're being sexually molested or they're being abused. And then they're being given against their will to somebody that's 75 years old that they're about to have sex with and have children without any choice. It's like
yeah.
they just don't know anything different. And right. some of them go, wait a minute, this is really screwed up. And some of them are like, let me just figure out how to get through this. You
right.
know?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I sometimes people are oppressed and they go with it. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I'm not saying there's none of that going on here. There's definitely the U.S. has its stuff, too. You
yeah.
know,
yeah. I know.
You know, in different ways, but.
I know. And then in Africa, you have genital mutilation for women and stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
the Middle
which
East
is
too, right?
No, not in the Middle East. This is more like you know, in Africa
really?
And stuff. Yeah, I never heard of it being done in the Middle East, but maybe it is. You know, in some because many primitive people, that's what they do.
Man, this is just let the world, you know. This isn't the real world.
That's
man.
Why I'm saying we should be so lucky and consider ourselves so lucky to live here. You know, and many people don't appreciate it, but we really have freedoms that nobody else does. You know, many people complain about taxes and shit here. I'm here to tell you we have one of the lowest taxes in the world. You know, I mean, you go to some place like the UK or something, it's like probably 60-70% income tax if you have your own business. You know, I've seen it in many countries. Mm-hmm. So we have it good here, I think, you know. And again, we don't appreciate it. But look at all the advances in science and technology. And
yeah, I mean, everything. I think that there's no place that's perfect. And I think that the U.S., its definition of oppression and everything, it takes on different forms here. I mean, people are still people. But I also think, you know, in comparison, yeah, I'm super grateful to live here. Not from like an arrogance, we're better than anybody, but I'm grateful for the simple freedoms we have, you know.
Right.
Even though that seems to be a very unpopular viewpoint in Los Angeles. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but no, I think, you know. But women, you know, even if they don't have clitoral stimulation, and I'm not saying it's okay, you know what? It's not going to stay. They could, if they could possibly still have orgasms vaginally.
It doesn't happen. Not without a clitoris. I don't think so.
No, through those muscles. It's muscle contractions.
Yeah, I know, but there's still got to be a functioning clitoris for
no,
that to
no, I don't think so. Like, because there's two different types of, there's two different, like, sources. You've got clitoral, well, those nerve endings there.
Okay.
And then you have those internal muscles in a woman, that the contractions
I understand.
Of those muscles create that turned on sexual
right.
woo,
but,
feeling.
But I think that... They're not clear about this. I think they're still trying to find out, you know, can you really have vaginal orgasm? And, you know, maybe it's just an extension of a clitoral one. So who knows, you know?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think it's, I think, you know, there's probably a lot of different things that you could, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that sex is kind of complicated, too. It's just like mentally, like if you dwell on sexual thoughts as a woman, you can get physically turned on without touching yourself. Mm-hmm. So how does that happen?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can get like wet and all hot and bothered.
Right. But maybe not an orgasm, you know. So, all right. So we're talking about shit we don't really know.
Once again.
So there's a Bible app.
Oh, really?
And it hit 10 million downloads, believe it or not.
I believe it.
Yeah.
First thing ever printed was the Bible. It's the most debated book of all time.
Yeah.
So, I believe it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, yeah. So, get your Bible app on. You need, huh? It's available on Apple, Android, BlackBerry.
Well, considering I'm laptopless due to that stint with CVS Pharmacy at the corner of Yucca and Cahuenga in Hollywood. Don't go there. It's just skeezy. And I knew better.
Yeah.
I knew better.
I know.
Afterwards, after something crazy happens, isn't it funny how there's like always a million people to tell you, why did you do that? Like this. And it's not that they're trying to be mean, but they're just telling you kind of the obvious shit.
Yeah, but it's because it's hard to fathom why you would leave it in the car exposed like
that. Haven't we all done dumb shit? Like,
yeah, I guess. But they're trying to make you see it's really, really fucking dumb.
Well, you already know it's dumb once you lost your $1,500 laptop.
Because you can't believe that somebody would do something like that.
It's just, it was just my brain wasn't working. I don't know what it is.
Okay, so people are letting you know that it wasn't working.
Yeah. But no, like I got scammed into being a mystery shopper, uh-huh. And I mean I got scammed out of $2,000.
Yeah.
You know, this is a few years ago, and I was like, what happened? This is a scam. And then like honestly, I had to pay this money back, and I remember thinking, I was like, I can't believe that I fell for this, but it seemed legit. And then afterwards,
$2,000.
Yeah. Afterwards, my aunt was like, oh yeah, I saw something on 2020 about this kind of stuff. And then I started seeing signs at the bank and things like don't cash checks, la 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 la, uh-huh. And email stuff like don't respond to da 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 da. I'm like, what? I was like, what? Come on. You know, it was like everybody, even my grandmother had heard about some kind of these scams that were going around and they're coming out of Nigeria and then funneling through England and all this stuff. And I was like, you gotta be freaking kidding me.
Wow.
I was like, and I don't live under a rock, people. Yeah. Like, I don't live under a rock. I watch TV from time to time. I'm on the internet. I'm with it. I'm kind of with it.
Wow.
Everybody knew. It's like my aunt in Texas.
Where did you get the $2,000 to send them?
It's kind of, well, no, I didn't get the $2,000. They send you a check.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you're.
Yeah, like they tell you redeposit or you deposit in your own account.
Yeah,
blah, blah,
that kind of thing.
Right.
So I didn't even, honestly, I mean, I'm just. When you're like business, I need to evaluate with questionnaires to fill out. It's pretty detailed, like all the questions I fill out.
Right.
And then Western Union, so they in fact need to be that it was a money order that needed to be. I needed to go to my bank and cash the money order, and then part of that was my salary from doing the thing, and then the other part, I would have to go to Western Union and mail
and send them the money.
Yeah. Like now, I mean, I can't even tell the story without feeling like the biggest dumbass. I can barely utter the words of what I feel like such an idiot. But I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, my aunt, she loves to ride her bike and do bicycle tricks where she'll like put one leg over her handlebar and then like take her hands off. And she's like 50 years old. She still does these bicycle tricks. She's crazy. You guys think I'm crazy? My aunt's crazy. And I always say I got it from her because she was born first.
Yeah.
But she does crazy shit all the time. Well, she was, you know, riding her bike down by the water where she lives in Texas. And, you know, she was doing something crazy, had a stick in her hand and was doing one of her bicycle tricks. You know, like just typical Saturday for Deborah.
Uh-huh.
And a dog came and got in the way of her and her bike flipped. Her legs were stuck somewhere in the bike.
Wow.
And she was like,
and she fell into the water?
No, she fell on the rugged, like rocky ground.
Uh-huh.
And her face is on the ground. Her legs are in the air and there's a bicycle somewhere mangled up in her. Mm. And she's just kind of laying there and she's got a little bit of blood on her head. And she's just like, like, don't touch me. And she said, this dumbass guy, this is Texas for you, this guy drives by in a dirty pickup truck and just rolls down his window real slow and drives by. And he looks at her and she's like, ah, ah, and he goes, hey, lady, you really ought to wear a helmet. And then he lifts up his hat and he shows her this big scar he has on his head and he just drives by. She's like, thanks. You know?
Oh, man.
That's how it goes, man.
Yeah. Oh, well, crazy people. Kara, have a great weekend.
Hey, man, I will.
I'm going to enjoy the rain. I know that. Everybody, thank you all for joining us. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you all on Monday.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.